You're tuned to 90.7 KRWG Las Cruces. I'm Leora Zeitlin. You're listening to Intermezzo. I am thrilled to welcome into our studios for the first time Barbara Padilla, an opera singer and a person who has dazzled and thrilled audiences all around the world. I want to talk about your childhood before we get to the America's Got Talent, but I have to mention that that's what really launched you to international fame was being the runner-up about 10 years ago in America's Got Talent, originally from Guadalajara. Barbara Padilla, welcome to Las Cruces.
Well, good afternoon, Leora. Thank you so much for having me in your program. And hello, everybody. Good afternoon. I hope you're having a great time. Yes, and I love to be here.
And this is your second time performing with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. You'll be performing tomorrow night and Sunday afternoon with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra with Lonnie Klein conducting. But you did a concert with them in the plaza maybe a year and a half ago?
A year and a half ago, I had the privilege to be with such a beautiful orchestra, and then I'm coming back to perform with them. It's an honor. We are going to have two concerts at Atkinson Hall at the university, at the New Mexico State University in the Music Center. Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 3 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and we're preparing music. We're rehearsing. We're so excited. The orchestra sounds fabulous. It's a huge orchestra. It's a big fat orchestra that's producing a marvelous sound. And Lonnie and I are going to participate here to give you the best time. We are going to sing like 17 pieces or something like that. I mean, you are going to have music. You are going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, it looks like a wonderful program. My daughter plays in the orchestra, so she's told me a little bit about it. I want to start with your childhood because most of the things I've found online sort of start with the America's Got Talent, but obviously you were singing long before you went on the television show and in that competition. So you grew up in Guadalajara. Tell us about your childhood and how you began singing and what inspired you.
My childhood. I can tell you, I'm going to focus on music because I could be speaking about so many things in childhood. First, my fascination with music. I don't remember when I discovered that I could sing opera. The things that my mother used to have, or has this collection of classical music, and she is a classical music lover. And she played the piano a little, and I had an uncle that played the piano. So hearing music around the house was not uncommon. We had two pianos, and they both got played. Mm. And my mother used to play opera. And here's the thing, I can relate the happiest moments of my childhood to certain pieces of music. Guadalajara is in the plateau of Mexico, and in order to go to the beach, where my favorite place, my childhood place was or is still, we had to go from the plateau of Mexico 5 hours into the mountains and down the mountains and then into the jungle and finally to the beach. So all that road was accompanied by beautiful music. Mm. The anticipation and the change in scenery just stayed in my heart with those pieces. And I was singing along with those pieces. And my mom was fascinated. Well, she used to just look through the rear view mirror and she's like, can you sing like that? Do you know what you're saying? I didn't know what I was saying. Of course not. It was the Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, and it was Tosca. I just liked the feeling of singing those notes. Mm. I liked it. And it made me feel very good. Now, there was another fascination that I had on the stage. I wanted to be on the stage. And I have several stories that I can tell you, but I mean, singing and being on the stage were my two favorite things to do. And I get to live my childhood dream every time I work. So every time I go on stage, I thank God. I thank God because this is my job.
Yeah.
And I'm very blessed.
You came to the United States I think it was when you were 16, you were diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma.
A little bit later.
Yes, okay, yes. But you were young.
I was young. I was studying music. I was going to the university.
Oh, you were already in college. And then you went through five, it must have been devastating years of treatment, and then again more treatment. And this is part of your story that you're very open about. That's why I want to make sure we touch on it, because you were told that you may never sing again after the radiation.
Well, it's a long story, but I'm going to try to make it as short as possible. The main thing is that, yes, you're totally right. 5 years of devastating treatments, chemotherapy and radiation. The chemotherapy was killing my bone marrow transplant. Mm. And it was 5 years, those 5 years of youth that I did not get to live, because I was not in good shape, but I lived it in a different way, because I could discover many other things, especially through music, because music was my refuge. Mm. And I never stopped singing, and I had the dreams. I had the not the dreams, I had goals. Like one time I was in the hospital, strapped to a bed and chemotherapy and treatments, and I was there for a week, but I remember very clearly that I could see the theater, the Degollado Theater, that's the most important theater in our city. And I was going to be performing the Sunday of that week. I was going to be performing at the Degollado Theater with our orchestra, the Philharmonic Orchestra of Jalisco, and I was looking forward to it. That week was terrible. It was a very hard week. I could hardly walk after all the treatments, and I just remember I kept looking through the window, and I could see the dome of the theater, and that was beautiful. And same thing happened when I was awarded with a full scholarship at the University of Houston. But I was very sick, and I had to undergo a lot of other treatments. The way it occurred is that I came. I'm going to leave a lot of details out. I'm sorry, I was sick, and I came to the United States to look for a second opinion at MD Anderson
in Houston.
Thanks to my voice teacher and conductor, Dr. Harlan Snow, may he rest in peace. He and his wife put together a group of people and money and resources and sent me to seek a second opinion. And during that same trip, without me planning it, I did an audition to the University of Houston. Peter Jacoby was then the conductor of the opera program. And he gave me, on the spot, a full scholarship for the University of Houston to study my master's. I mean, the rest of the bachelor's and then the master's degree. And I was so blessed, because I never got any treatments in Houston. Every treatment was in Guadalajara.
Uh-huh.
And so I saw a doctor once, but I got a scholarship. So I had to go back to Guadalajara to get better. And sure enough, I got a little better, but 2 months before I was scheduled to take the flight to Houston and start my new adventure and my new program. 2 months before that, I was told that I still had the cancer localized in the neck area, and that they had to give me radiation in that area. And the doctor sat down and told me, you're a singer. We have to advise you. You're never going to speak normally again, let alone sing. Mm. My mother, my life crumbled in front of me. I mean, I still have that feeling. I still know it. I remember. And my mom knew that my life was crumbling in front of me. She grabbed my hand and told me, doctors are not God, and God has a plan, and you have to be alive to sing. So just take a deep breath. And I received the treatment, the radiation, and I never stopped singing. Mm. praise be to God, because I mean, that was seriously a miracle. And I kept singing, and I'm still singing.
Still singing.
And I came to the States. I went to Houston. I graduated. I mean, I got a bone marrow transplant. That's a totally different story. But I was already studying, and I had to go back to Guadalajara. I came back to Houston. I never lost my scholarship. And I graduated, met my husband. We got married, and now we adopted a beautiful girl, and she's the light of my life. She's my daughter, Elizabeth.
She must be a teenager by now, or
she is
young teen?
A teenager. Uh-huh. She's 14. She's so beautiful. I mean, she's precious, and I get to live this beautiful dream. Yes, I went to America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching, and I was performing here and there, but I wanted to stay at home with my daughter when she was young. And I received a phone call from my mother, and mother's in Mexico, and mothers in our countries and in our cultures, they call you by your, if you have two names, they call you by your two names when something is serious. So she called me, she told me, Maria Barbara, just like that. What are you doing with your life? And I'm like, Mom, I'm teaching. I'm a mom. I'm a wife. And she told me, Maria Barbara, you have a tremendous talent that God gave you. You have a family that supports you. You have a master's degree in music, and you speak four languages. So you have the wings of an eagle and the mind of a chicken. She said that. So I needed to start looking for auditions. And I remember I started to look for every audition I could do. And I saw America's Got Talent was going to hold auditions in Houston. So, yes, I went, but thinking, oh, my gosh, this is impossible. You know, how on earth am I going to be seen here? I mean, this thing is full of talent, and there were like 30,000 people there, and that was a circus/show. I don't know. It was very impressive, but I went through all the rounds, the auditions, the finals, and finally I was the runner up, the first runner up of America's Got Talent. That's something that I can't describe.
Yeah,
it was pretty impressive and surreal, to say the least. And yeah, I'm now singing opera and also classical crossover, and we are going to have samples of what I can do now, of what I'm doing now. We're going to have a little bit of opera in the program, mm-hmm. and we're going to have classical crossover in music from all over the world.
Yeah, it's going to be a delightful program. Tell me just, I noticed on your website that you had a teacher in high school, and that was when you decided you really wanted to be a singer. And you've mentioned a couple of teachers. Who were the inspirations in your life like that?
Oh, I had Enrique Suarez was my teacher. And I think I owe him. He and Alicia Gonzalez were my teachers in Guadalajara. And I think I owe them in the way I sing now.
Hmm.
Enrique Suarez, he's a Cuban American, and he just helped me to develop the voice the way it is now. I think I owe him that the richness of whatever I can give or whatever my voice can produce to him, and of course teachers along the way helped me develop and enriched my life a lot. Another teacher that I had here in the States, the first teacher I had in the States, Isabel Gans. She's a Jewish woman from New York, and she just was beautiful, like a mother to me when I got here. Mm-hmm. And Joan Gibbons, and
I read that you love to read about everything you can about a piece, learn everything you can about a song when you're learning it, to put the most emotion that you can into it.
I'm a very curious person. So if I am performing, every song that I perform has a story behind it that I made up. Your character has to have history, has to have a past in the psychology, and especially when you're performing operas. Yes, I love to read the original source, and I love to think what this character must be going through. But one of the things that I teach when I teach masterclasses is like, who is your character, and do they have habits? Do they have? Do they get depressed because of certain things, or what makes them happy, or are they drunk? Are they sick? And yeah, most of the characters that I perform when I do opera, well, they are it's a drama. They die of tuberculosis or kill themselves. So yeah, there must be something going on just behind the surface, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's your job or my job to portray that psychology behind. But I can't do it if I don't know where the original about the original source and who they were and how they related to the world.
The composers.
What the composers must have thought about those characters, because they probably knew them, mm-hmm. you know. But in like an example, Mozart in The Marriage of Figaro. It's my favorite opera by Mozart, because every character is a human person that has that's a caricature of human beings. Aren't we all caricatures of something? We represent something for the other people that surround us. We represent a very specific persona. Mm-hmm. And Mozart could convey that in the music that he gave to every person, because every person has a specific music, a specific motive, you know, motif. And he gave everybody a different character.
And yes, musically as well as dramatically.
It's fantastic. It's incredible how you get to know the characters. The more you listen to the songs, the more you can just find out about them, especially if you've read the original source, Beaumarchais, and if you like the Barbara Seville, which is the second half, or no, it's the first half of the original work. But if you read the original work all the way through, it's a fantastic caricature of human personas. Mm. It's awesome. I love it. And then when I sing the opera or the aria, then people can see something. They know that there is something behind, a psychology behind.
Yeah. Wow. Well, it's wonderful, because I think all of that work that you're doing with each song, with each piece you sing, of course it comes into through your voice, because it's so rich and so full of emotion with every note.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we want to manipulate the emotions, not only our emotions, but the people that are listening to the music, because when we listen to music, what we are looking for is something beautiful. We are looking for beauty, and the beauty is going to the beauty in the music, whether it's sad or mad or happy, is going to make us feel better. Mm-hmm. I mean, the effect. I mean, there's a whole thing, a whole scientific thing about music and the effects in the human brain. I just love it.
My guest is Barbara Padilla. You'll be performing Saturday night, tomorrow night, and Sunday afternoon, 7:30 tomorrow, 3:00 Sunday, with the Las Cruces Symphony Orchestra. It has been such a pleasure to talk with you today.
Well, the pleasure has been mine. Thank you very much. And I hope everybody comes to Atkinson Hall tomorrow at 7:30 or Sunday at 3:00. o'clock, we are going to do our best. We're going to put our best effort to give you a great time with a lot of music.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.